ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This is part two with Coach Angel from South City Athletic Club. We dive deeper into his coaching philosophy, the influences that influenced him, and we talked about Alliance Futsal League that they have started up. And I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode, so let's start this chat and head to the pitch. And I think as parents, we also have to give our players grace to go through the growth of being on a new team or a coach throwing in a new playing style. Because I feel like we see our players only as what they are playing. And I think we need to take it as parents. We have to step back. Is that, are they learning roles? Or are they learning positions? And I can argue with anyone on this all day long. This is my biggest argument when it comes to youth development is, do you teach players roles or do you teach them positions? And this answer is kind of a double-edged sword for you. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. No, this is actually a good question because I think that's something I've been touching on a lot with both my U8s and my U12s. I think I teach them, honestly, personally, more roles than anything. Because, like, for example, I guess just to break it down, for 11v11, I've been watching a lot of Wrexham lately, so I'm actually going to go visit them actually here in the next 2 weeks actually, or next week. I think next week. I need to be on top of that before I miss my flight. But I've been watching a lot of Phil Parkinson's system, and I really like the 5-3-2 with wing backs. So I applied that, especially with the capability of the players that I had. But I broke it down for them. I was like, "Hey, you're not cemented to this, because this is what I've learned from a lot of coaches. Because I'm a big on possession play, but something I've learned is that there is going to be a lot of times where my kids get out position. I have a centerman maybe pushing up all the way to go score and everything like that. So something I've explained to them was like, hey, all these positions, this is your main, this is what they do, but this is exactly your role on why I'm putting you there and what exactly you're going to do. And any point, for example, if they move out position, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Just know that if you're moving into this position, your role and your job that you need to be doing if you're going to switch with someone and things like that. So I really try to break it down, because especially my girls, they like to ask me a ton of questions just to make sure they're understanding, which is fine, because I do that in school myself too. Ask tons of questions. I think I annoyed the professors and they passed me on purpose. But yeah, I think more in roles than anything, just really making sure they understand, like, hey, like this is what you're in charge of, and this is what you're responsible of when you're in the game and everything like that. Regardless, if you don't play, like, for example, if you're left mid and you don't play right mid, you're still responsible for helping to defend and going up to help to attack and supporting your teammates and things like that. Clearly, and yeah, like you said, it's a double-edged sword, so it goes both ways. But I feel like roles, if I answered it correctly, yeah, I think I touch on roles more than anything, like the responsibilities, I guess, is a term
I
I'm looking
personally
for.
am a Johan Cruyff fan,
Yeah.
and it's all about teaching responsibilities and roles. Because if you know that, like you said, if your midfielder's pushing up, someone has to drop back to fill their position. And total football, that's the whole mentality. I mean, if you're a Ted Lasso fan, I'm a big Ted Lasso fan, and the whole
I love
epiphany
that. I
moment of
love that
total
show.
football. And it's that was something that when I coached, before I even learned what total football was, and how can a kid know? And four, I use 4v4 because it's the easiest game to explain everything in. If you have a player that's playing as a defender role, know if they have a chance to make a clean break and eat up space, and someone has to learn to come back and take his role that he is or she is taking that player's responsibility over. And it's teaching them to be at a young age, I can't pronounce the word, focused enough, knowing what's going on in the game
Yeah,
to move
conscious.
around.
There we go. Conscious.
Yes. Knowing enough so that if my defender, if I'm playing a 1-2-1 formation or 2-2 formation, if that defender on the right side is moving up, and the left defender might have to move over, and the left wing might have to come back down so everyone can shift. And now the formation's changed, and now they have to figure out how to get back into, do they stay in that, or do they naturally kind of shift back in when the change of flow is going? And I think if we start teaching that at a young age, when they do hit 11v11 and they're doing a run over or a run over, an overlap, a defender's doing an overlap because they have a moment because everyone's pushing up, someone somewhere has to learn to drop back. I think they talk about this a lot with FC Dallas, with, that's our local team, I'll use them, is Jesus Ferreira. He tends to drift back more than he should. And I don't get why, but some have said that's because he's trying to cover whoever is coming up defensively. I mean, it's fun to watch. And I think it also creates a higher soccer IQ. Me personally, this is Ian speaking, not experts, but watching kids play, if they understand what their left wing is supposed to be doing and their responsibility, and they've played it before, and they're playing the left back, and they pass the ball up to them, they know that they need to move up so that left wing can have a person to pass to, or an outlet of some sort, and they need to focus on getting open versus what I call standing game watching. And how do you teach beyond that?
Yeah, 4v4 is actually a great example, and the way you described it is pretty much what I'm doing with my kids and everything like that. Because I had a parent from that team tell me, well, I don't want my son to always play defender, and I was like, well, yes, I have more of that defensive role because he knows how to use his body and get in front of the ball and everything like that. But I've explained to them, it's just like, whenever he has the ball, I've told your son, like, he can go and take it. And everything like that, but he just chooses not to because he controls the ball and passes, because obviously that's something else we've talked about and everything like that. But regardless with the kids, I even made it broke it down to them, because I always use school as a good example, because school teaches us about visual learning, listening, and actually doing it. And it's something I've done with my kids for before. I think we're prepping for a tournament. And especially having what I did was I set up cones, different color cones for different situations. So, like, for example, the red cones for how our shape is when we defend, green cones for how we're supposed to look like when we're attacking, whenever the team has a middle ball of the field, different scenarios like that. And I explained to the kids, I was like, hey, as you're moving up and down on the field, you're going to move here. Why? Because you're on this side, and can your role is to defend, and you need to be covering this area. You're playing in the back of the diamond, so you need to be more towards the middle, but you need to make sure you get back here, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a clear, like you said, 4v4, that 4v4 example, that's something I do a lot with my kids. Like, hey, if Colin takes up the ball and tries to go score and everything like that, Kennedy, you or Libby needs a drop back and make sure you cover him. Why do one of us need to get back? And then they tell me the answer. So no one scores unless they steal the ball from Colin, and that's something that's hard for me as a coach right now, from picking up, especially my U12 girls, and then being there this their first 11v11 season, because we started off 9v9 in the spring, but we're full 11v11 now. And the hard part is that trying to And it kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier, trying to get that time to make sure they understand those roles. Because I had a parent tell me, he's like, okay, what's your style of play? And I was like, well, we're a possession-based team, and this is what we're looking for. And they asked me, well, how come you dabble with the formation a lot? And I was like, I don't. I was like, we have a set formation. I was like, but I've taught the girls, like, if they're gonna go move into someone else's position, someone else is gonna cover. I was like, there, I'm not telling them to do. I told them, I was like, as a coach, like, yeah, I can yell and direct and everything like that, but it's up to y'all to be creative. And that's something I think I give my players more than anything. Like, I've learned to kind of be quiet a little bit more and only speak on things I feel like they need to probably focus on a little bit more. Because there's a lot of coaches like, go, 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 and probably say a lot of stuff that maybe like they need to focus. Because something my brother, he's had his C license right now. I just finished my D probably like a couple months ago. Waiting to go do my C. But something they my brother made a good point about, that one of the instructors told him from US Soccer, was like, by time you yell something from like from here to across the field and the kid hears it, like, the play's over, and that's why, like, I let my kids be creative, because if I yell, by the time I say, like, hey, like Stacy, like random name, but like, hey Stacy, turn next time, like turn, or like cut across or something like that. By the time I say that and it clicks in her brain, she's already gonna have to release the ball, or she shot and it went out or something like that. So that's why I give a lot of my kids the free range to be creative and make their own decisions, because it gives them the opportunity to problem solve within the game and figure things out. And especially whenever, like, the roles part, like whenever they're moving positions, or I have one of my wingers pushing all the way up to go score, the midfielders, will look around like, okay, like I need to go back. And everything like that. And then when parents ask me why is she being a defender, it's like, no, she's not being a defender. She's covering for that particular position, And that's why, like, right now, they probably get my girls get the most tired, because they're all over the place covering and moving around and accepting other responsibilities and all that good stuff, which is something we're probably working on is conditioning right now today for practice.
But that's something you're setting them up for long-term success. And I don't think parents see that as a long-term success, because when you are playing and they understand, if they want to go play at a collegiate level or a professional level, they understand, like, no, there's more to this position, playing whatever it may be, than just this 30 yard by 30 yard area that I'm responsible for. It blows my mind that we live in a society where parents don't understand. Like, do you tell an artist how to draw? Or did anyone ever tell Michelangelo how to carve, to chisel or carve? No, it's he visually saw it. He was visually creative. They might have given him techniques on how to move the stone, but I think I'll use soccer day because I love his example. It's do our players go out and kick the ball 15 different ways to figure out what's the best way to make contact with that ball? Do they go out and kick it against the wall and see how it bounces off the wall when they kick it, or how it releases off their foot? Like if you want, I tell my son, I go, watch how the professionals place the ball. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, they're all kicking a certain spot on the ball. I go, some will kick where you inflate the ball. Some will kick a certain emblem on the ball because that's where they know they make contact and it turns the ball a certain way. And he goes, he's nine. And it's like, so now I watch him. He goes out there and when he practices free kicks, he moves it around and mo see how he kicks it and how it interacts. And now he has a certain spot he looks for in these balls because his coach brings all the game balls now for the games. And I feel like he has the upper advantage because he knows how that ball makes a contact with his foot. And it's teaching creativity, but giving them the chances and the tools to be there is so critical. And I don't think parents take that in consideration of how they're going to have their player perform.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because if we're able to allow them to be creative now, later on, they're only going to be twice as much creative, and that helps them stand out as a player, especially if they're trying to reach a certain goal, professional or collegiate. Because I mean, yeah, you see a lot of teams. Sometimes they can be a super good, really good team as a unit, but no one really stands out as an individual because they're so set on a concrete style that they don't get to be super, super creative. And that's something, I mean, I feel like I really like about my teams right now. I'm allowing them to like to. For them to be themselves and express themselves on the field and everything like that. Because I've noticed, especially as a coach, whenever I try to, make them only focus on doing things like my way and everything like that, they play 100% different. But when I let them be creative, they start seeing, trying to create things that I didn't even tell them to do. I'll have a player trying to make a through ball that maybe I didn't even see, and I see it almost go through. I'm like, oh man, that was a great idea. So that's something I just watch more and compliment on my players now, because it's just like, oh man, you saw that pass, or you saw the opportunity to shoot and everything like that. I'm like, wow, that's great, because I think kind of giving some positive reinforcement on that is really, really good, especially as a coach. Because like I said, when I was on the sidelines this past weekend, not only watching my brother's game, but listening to the games behind me and to the side of me and everything like that. You hear parents saying, like, Johnny, like, why are you doing that? Like, you got to do this. Like, parents instructing. And it's just like, I feel like it really just kind of gets in the way sometimes, which is, I understand, emotions and everything like that. But it's just like, we throw so much ideas and ways that we want them to play where we don't allow them to express themselves. And I think that's something a lot of experienced coaches or maybe a professional coaches agree on. You just got to sometimes let a player create his art, and it's okay to have a certain style of like, hey, I want to play tiki taka, possess the ball and everything like that. But when as soon as they do their movements or whatnot, or they see something else, like let them create and all that good stuff.
As a parent, I know I don't try to give direction to my son. I just tell him this weekend, I said we had a long chat before the game. He's getting much better not diving in when he's playing defense. And I'm very proud of him over it. And I go, but once they make the move, bud, you have to figure out. And I'll see, I'll space to him, collapse space. And he knows what it means. I'm not telling him when to do it. I'm telling him like he needs to focus on that. And when I interviewed David, and it really hit me hard, was when we give our kids too much information or too much direction, they start focusing only on that. And when we tell them like they did a bad job in a game, well, they'll say the view of their game was skewed because the instructions we gave them, or the goals that we gave them. And I'm very particular on giving my son goals before his game.
Yeah.
This weekend it was to use a skill with the ball. Next was this was the ones my wife gave him, and I made sure that we was using a scissors, and we wanted to see him do a scissors. He's been struggling doing skills when he's on the ball.
Yeah.
Next was communication and leadership. Those were the things we gave him, because we say hustling is no longer a goal; it's a requirement, and so he knows that those are things. But watching him go out there and actually communicate and trying to be a leader through example, because we told him like leaders are they lead by example, and I always like the NFL memes where they show like this quarterback is doing it, pulling his team, and this quarterback is pushing their and I tell him like a good leader pushes their teammates to be better individuals. They can't bring them up to them because they don't learn and they don't stay. They leave.
Right.
And I go, you need to be the leader that pushes everyone, encourages everyone. And we talked very heavily with him about there's videos talking about college recruiting and coaches that are recruiting at colleges and professional recruiters. And the first thing they look at is how did the player react when the goal was scored on them as a team? Are they
Yeah.
encouraging and telling them not hanging their head? Or are they, and when they score a goal, are they celebrating with as a team? And if they receive an assist from someone, are they going over and thanking the person they had the assist from? And like making him start thinking about this stuff now, because if we start teaching our players, I feel at a young age, to be a well-rounded athlete, and us parents need to shut up our mouths a little bit more, and not give direction, I think that your job as a coach will be much easier. And I think if coaches just have, from the sounds of it, you have a very honest communication with your parents. And
Yeah, we do.
there is a podcast I listened to recently, and he says soccer coaches in the United States are the most well-intended liars.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. I think a lot of coaches have intentions for the players, but they don't deliver it because of the outside pressures of losing their team and such.
No, that's true. That's true. Because from a player that has experienced it, firsthand of club soccer, it's just like, man, like I see that, and then I try to not do that as a coach. But when I have moments where I'm lacking or failing, I'm blessed right now to have parents that like let me know, like a manager to communicate and let me know, like, hey, like some of the parents have been talking about this and that, like just want to keep it in your radar. Or like some of the parents will even directly text me, like I was mentioning earlier. Like I have a lot of parents who directly text me if they saw maybe something a little off, or they had questions, because I usually let them know, like, hey, I'm open to questions, you can communicate with me, but unless you're mad or something like that, let's do the 24-hour rule, wait till the next day or something. And even me, I don't try to discuss too much after the game with my girls, because I usually tell them, like, coach, especially if it's a loss, because I'm still a sore loser, the competitiveness in me. I even get nervous myself before I even start coaching, because I always have that playing instinct in me. But I usually don't talk too much about the game afterwards. Winning, losing, or tying, it's all the same. I keep it short and brief, just because, I want the players to be able to think for themselves, because at the end of the day, like how you're saying with like the ball example, different ways to hit it and really make it connect. Only the players, or us as players, we can only think to ourselves, okay, what can I have done better? What can maybe I can do in my capability to be able to apply it in the next game or the next practice to be able to excel a little bit more. That's I always keep it brief, but I think a big thing too, like how you're talking, you're giving the examples of your son. I think a big example that I took from Hugo Perez, the coach for the El Salvador national team before they fired him, the biggest thing he talked about was mentality. And that's something I'm instilling into all my kids and everything like that. It's just like, hey, we're down 10-0. You're still gonna play. You still gotta fight to the end as an athlete and everything like that. Because especially here at South City, us being a Christian club and everything like that, like I think the biggest thing I want to instill in my players is the mentality, like, even if everything's against us or even if we're not doing good, we still got to give 100%. Because I tell my girls too, I was like, hey, like, sometimes me coach is not going to come here, maybe super happy or full of energy. I'm gonna be tired, I'm gonna be exhausted, hungry. I always mess with the Pope with them on that because they laugh about it and start talking about all the food places near the practice fields. But I always tell them, like, if I'm saying that as a coach, like some days where I'm exhausted and maybe can't push myself, I know I still got to show up 100% for y'all because y'all need me to teach y'all. So I tell them, imagine you've got girls at the game. All of y'all have to put 110% each game because you're not only playing for yourself, you're playing for your teammates around you and they need you. Even if, like I said, we're losing 10 to 0, we still got to push because we still got to finish up the game. We're not going to walk away. And I think that's a big way of how I want to coach, especially with the coaches that I'll never forget the way they raised me. I had a coach before he passed away from various stuff he was dealing with. The big thing he taught was not only soccer, but just like trying to be a good human being, a good human being on and off the field. Because I think at the end of the day, even if I didn't get to enjoy like a very big pro and industrialist career or anything like that, I can honestly say like I've learned a lot through the example of soccer. And that's something that we're doing at South City right now, trying to teach those good morales and that strong mentality and everything like that through the game, because the game obviously gives us a lot of examples. Like you said, learning how to lose, the how hard we need to work to win, all the sacrifices we have to make, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's a big thing. But obviously, like I said, not everyone does it, because like I said, in this environment and culture that we have right now for soccer, a lot of coaches right now are just only focused on one thing, winning, making sure they let everyone know about it, and just going to win the next tournament or winning the league and everything like that. Instead of like really focusing on the player, because I think a lot of players, when they finish out with teams, like, yeah, they can say like, oh yeah, we won Surf Cup, or we're pre-ECNL. I used to play for ECNL team, et cetera, but I don't feel like a lot of players can say probably after, like, oh yeah, I learned this from my coach about like being a decent human being and stuff like that. I feel like we've drifted away from having good virtues within our teams, and all that good stuff. And I feel like kids don't get the full benefit of sports, because I think us as adults, just to kind of wrap up on that topic, I think us as adults, especially all of us who've played sports, like you wrestling and me soccer, I think we've all taken away like really, really good stuff from back in those days, like from our coaches and everything like that, giving us that family atmosphere and all that stuff, and setting and giving us pretty much the tools to be successful and everything like that. And I feel like coaches nowadays don't want to give us the tools. They just want to have the system that they need or the people that they need to be successful, instead of giving the players the tools that they need to be successful. I feel like that's what I was really trying to come across. Like, we're not giving the tools to the kids of this new generation. We just want everything to be perfect already so that we can win.
That goes to my favorite thing I tell my son. Doing all these interviews, I've learned a lot as a parent, and him and I talk about the word perfect quite a bit. I grew up in a home that was very religious, and the word perfect was thrown around a lot. And you had to fit this certain mold, you had to fit this certain life, and it broke me as an individual. And I will admit that. But I tell my son, it's like there's nothing perfect in this world. There's just something done correct. That's all I can ever ask of you. It doesn't have to be beautifully done correctly. It just has to be done correct. How you get to that correct point is on you, not me. It's like he shot a goal top 90 corner shot, and my wife says that was the perfect shot I've ever seen you take. Because no, everything lined up correct, Mom. Nothing's perfect. My wife turns to me and goes, "Where is he getting this from?" I go, "Me." And it's because I'm trying to teach him, like, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to not be always on the field. It is, but you need to be giving it your all. And I know what your all looks like. And It doesn't mean it's correct. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means, I mean, it means it's correct. It doesn't mean it's perfect. You're
Yeah.
just getting to that point of where you're being consistently correct. And I think the verbiage we use is so important because I get called out. David called me out on it, and it really made me think long and hard about it because I made a comment to him about the play practice play model with US soccer. And how I feel like it makes lazy coaches. And because coaches want to come in, let them play, but it's all set up kind of distinguished to their practice part, what are the objectives in the first play. And they normally let them scrimmage in the second half. And I said, the coaches nowadays will say, let them learn through the process. But how do kids learn if they aren't doing it correct or doing it what the practice? Applying what they learned in practice and applying it into the last play section. And I go, they need to be corrected and fixed. And he goes, wait, wait, wait. And when I finish explaining to him, he goes, what do you just say? Do you like being corrected and fixed? And he goes, no, you need to change the dialogue we're using with our players to be, okay, you guys did it. You guys did it. So you guys are playing, but it's not what we just worked on. So how can we apply what we just worked on into this method that we're trying to do now in our last scrimmaging part? And I'm like, okay, you got me there. And I think as coaches and parents, we need to change our verb terminology. Before, is there anything else you'd like to talk about with coaching before I change topics because I'm watching time?
No, you're good. You're good. Man, I need to have a conversation with Dave. yeah, because I'm trying to get myself familiarized with all the coaching. But no, exactly, just how like you said, verbiage is huge. I think that's something that I've really been focused on this season, the way I say it and the way I want it to come across, because it's just like, man, in the beginning of the season, there was a lot of the way I was saying things to my players was just like, not that I was doing it on purpose for it to sound like demeaning, but it was just like, I was just in the moment. And so like, for example, like, hey, like, why are we gonna force the ball there and everything like that? And now it's that verbiage has changed to like, okay, we force a ball there. What do we need to do next time to so that we don't get the ball stolen from the team, in regard to those lines. So yeah, I mean, Dave is right. Yeah, verbiage is really, 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 really big, especially now with teams and how we work with it and all that good stuff.
It's amazing, like just simple terminology. I mean, but I'm going to shift gears here because this is the other half that I want to cover is your futsal league that you're building. And as a parent that wants my kid to play futsal, I'm like, here's a great opportunity. I mean, there's so many people trying to build all this great stuff in our community, and it's just not out there. It's just not being communicated well, or if it is being communicated well, it's being left one or two people. It's not leaving, it's not going five people distance when talking about. So you're trying to build and start a futsal league in Wachita.
Waxahachie.
Please, yeah, Wachahatchee. Thank you. If I enunciate these names wrong, I'm not from Texas.
It's
So,
all good. It's all good.
but you're trying to build something with the futsal community here. So where are you guys out of and what are you guys doing down there?
So the Futsal Alliance is the name of the is the short name for it. We have it as Southern Clubs Futsal Alliance. So I was like, I'm just gonna say Futsal Alliance, guys. For me and some of the actually South City coaches, we put that together because there was a indoor place called Apex in Mansfield and off of 287, and majority of everyone was going over there to play. But so we're Futsal Alliance, and we play in Waxahachie at the campus of Southern Southwestern Assemblies of God, in short SAGU, using one of their gyms down there. And honestly, we just wanted to provide not only a different way to play, because the benefits of futsal is, speed of play, touch, and all that other good stuff. I have a whole PDF that I made to present to everyone for that. But honestly, we just wanted to give a lot of these teams options to be able to compete and play, and maybe to do something a little bit different. We actually just had our first opening weekend this past Saturday, and so many teams came out on the court. We had U teams from U6 all the way up to adult leagues, which I even jumped in there, so my quads are still sore from that. But it was fun to watch, mainly how the kids really had to understand, like, oh man, like I can't do crazy through balls or just long balls the whole time. I need to get direct passes or quick 1-2s back to feed, you know, little things like that. It really allowed the kids to be creative and, you know, like how we were talking about earlier, and really adjust themselves and adapt to the speed of the game and what they need to do because they're on a new surface and everything like that. So I think we give coaches that option and everything like that. I think the only tough part is that, I guess, travel, and it's understandable, you know, I mean, I don't want to go all the way to Melissa, Texas every weekend to play, but I have to at the moment every other weekend or so. A lot of the Dallas teams and maybe a few up north didn't want to travel down to Waxahachie to play. I think we even had a team in North Arlington and they didn't want to come down, or even Mansfield, they didn't want to come down to come play. But I mean, for the most part, I mean, if it's just one Saturday every weekend or every other weekend, how we've had it set up, and I think it should work. But like I said, I mean, we've kept it cheap. I mean, honestly, it's $450 the whole season, including ref fees. So I think it's honestly really, really reasonable, because I remember at Apex, we paid $600 for the team, and then every parent still had to pay like a $30 registration, and we still had to bring like $12 for ref fees. Yep. But so we're not really profiting anything. Where a lot of the money that we did get, we're paying a lot of the refs, which a lot of them we've trained over the rules, we've set the rules for the league, and the refs that we have there, a lot of them are college students themselves, soccer players too, majority of them Brazilian or South American, so they understand the futsal rules. So it's just like easy, we didn't have to tell them, they just like here just like nodding their head like okay I know this, you know. Because a lot of us South City coaches agree that, yeah, it's a business, but at the same time, we want to provide options for clubs to give them that opportunity to have an off season and do something different, that's going to help their team's game 110%.
So with the league starting up, are your guys' goal to expand beyond the local area that you're in, maybe have one or two locations and then have like a final championship between the two locations? Or are you guys just trying to, is there an end game for you guys looking at this?
I think we haven't thought that deep in it. I've been asking the question because now that opening weekend just happened, I've been having a lot of people messaging me saying, hey, are you going to do like a win or two after the championship game in late January? And I asked that question, and with I think the biggest problem we'll have right now trying to keep up with it is schedule, because league starts up very soon, and then there's I don't know how many tournaments almost every single weekend of the year. I think January I even had to skip two tournaments because I was just like, my own team is in the futsal league, and I was just like, yeah, can't do the 13th of January, can't do the 20th. I was like, all right, we don't have a game on the 27th, so we'll do that. So we didn't want to compete with that very much, so we said we're going to wait till in the summer. But I think that's what we're sticking to right now. I think we're sticking local because there's not a lot of things down south, and that's a funny conversation me and my brother have had, that a lot of the stuff everyone goes to is up north. You know, yes. City football, you got Soccer Spectrum, like for example in Richardson, that a lot of people meet up at, and different indoor places and leagues and everything like that. Like everyone knows about those areas. You even have people driving down south going up north to go play for teams. So we're trying to really establish a more soccer culture and options down south, more than anything. I mean, I wouldn't really consider it super super down south. I feel like it's not too bad of a drive, but then again, I only live like 20 minutes away, so like I can't complain, like unlike other people. But yeah, I think we're trying to keep it local more than anything. Maybe later on we'll expand. We're hoping one day we can actually build our own facility and run things. I think the people who do that, I forgot the name of the facility, but it was great because they had indoor volleyball court, they had a turf field for indoor soccer, basketball course, they had almost everything, and I was like, yeah, this is the dream. One day I want to build something like this. So I think that's one of our goals. We want to build our own facilities and everything like that, and be able to host stuff and keep things a little bit more local, and especially helps us out too to give options for rec teams and other clubs down there that don't want to drive all the way up north as well. So,
yeah, it's fascinating how I live in Keller area, or just south of Roanoke, and we drive to Melissa. We drive to. We spent our weekend in Louisville. What was the other one?
McKinney. Yeah, that means we probably might have crossed paths over there or something like that.
So we were like our Lennon's last game this past weekend. So I understand like building it where you're local. It's like I'm right there with you. If we can find a way to build facilities on the west side of town, my life would be so much easier. Because leagues would use more facilities all over the Metroplex because there's teams all over the Metroplex and they wouldn't have to travel as far. Now with the futsal, are you guys going to strictly stick to the leagues? Are you going to try to have like classes to help coaches better understand the game so they can help their players, or do you guys have clinics with it all? Or
we might do a clinic. Funny enough that you ask, I had I guess one of the U.S. men's futsal team members reach out to me actually about doing a clinic and everything like that. And we're hoping to squeeze that in with any time that we're able to have available. Because right now, like I said, the business part of soccer is always not the easiest because on the money side, the more time we try to accumulate for games or try and do extra clinics and everything like that, the more we have to find funds for that. And that's why right now we're even trying to get like sponsors to help with so that we can, you know, maybe get more time to fill those gaps. Because that's why we're so cheap right now, because we're trying to keep it simple, easy, just getting your games and do your games and then continue on moving forward and everything like that. But I was interested in setting up futsal classes and everything like that because, you know, any way for the kids to learn and learn something new, it's always good. So we're trying to squeeze that in. We have a lot of little plans that we've been thinking about, but just not fully executed because, like I said, the business side just makes things so much harder. And especially, I think, with the economy the way that we have it today, I mean, everyone wants to try to count their dollars as best as they can. They don't want to try to spend too much where they can't at the moment, especially like these past months. All you've seen is like club fundraisers and raffles and stuff like that. It's tough right now. It's tough. So we try to make it affordable and reasonable and schedule everything as best as we can. Like right now, majority of all the games are Saturday. I think we started as early as 7 a.m. this past Saturday to get things going. And I know my co-ed football team, we didn't finish our game until like 10 p.m. that same day. So I was literally like there all day.
Awesome. I mean, yeah, I bet that's a long day, especially if you start at 7 a.m. and going until 10 p.m. No, I find it very fascinating with all the futsal stuff. I find it to be a missing part of our soccer community, because if you look at a lot of the soccer developed countries, especially in South America, they all have a huge futsal community I don't even want to call it community or game, whatever you want to call it, around soccer as a whole, and how much more developed those players are. I mean, if you look at all the players that leave South America and go play, and how much ball control movement they have just on top of the ball versus what we play on when you play on the pitch, on the side of the ball, it's amazing how it transitions over, and watching them play. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think just kind of going back to the business, and I think trying to provide those options are tough because you got to have the right resources and everything like that. Or someone rich willing to invest into a facility and everything like that, and put all that together. And I think that's just going off topic. I think that's where we struggle in U.S. soccer, having those options to give to everybody. Because I mean, as you can see right now, like how we talked about, I mean, everyone's going to the same tournaments. Everyone's going to go play and travel all the way in the same leagues, even only if you register in time, because I mean, obviously the facilities can only take so many teams, and and everything like that. I think we had to close out ours like at 55 teams because we couldn't take in no more because that scheduling was going to be a nightmare. So the business end just makes things super, super tough to give players nowadays those options in order to be more better and play a little bit, you know, a little bit of dabble in different types of soccer and different ways to play it. So, because honestly, it's our first season and we're really testing the waters to see how it goes. And so far, so good. I mean, even we're still adapting. I mean, the other day we saw that, like, hey, maybe we need to make sure we tell coaches to only bring like one soccer ball in the play or warm up area because kids started passing the ball in and it started getting onto the field. And we're like, oh my gosh. Other moments, for example, we want to reemphasize like letting the refs know, like, hey, we need to make sure we stay on top of the rules, like only 4 seconds to pass in, reiterate this, and you know, making sure everyone has a clear understanding of everything like that. Because I did a whole post on the page about the rules, and we even direct emailed all the coaches the rules, and we even had the refs reemphasize the rules when we were there, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, I even have plans on doing like a whole video, like re-emphasizing the rules and everything like that too. Just because, I mean, you can never stop reiterating something because, you know, there's always going to be someone who does it wrong and everything like that.
Oh, never. No one does anything ever incorrectly. So my favorite question I always ask with all my interviews, so who has been your greatest influence as a player? And now as a coach, because those are two different questions, by the way, they aren't one.
Yeah.
But they have, I think it shows a little bit of humanity in everyone that we interview and talk to. So I interview and talk to, so.
Yeah. Oh man. I think as a player, I would honestly say my dad. It's kind of cliche to say, but my dad has always kind of pushed us. Has always kind of pushed us to not only like try to be the best version of ourselves on the field, but just to, like I was saying earlier, just to have that mentality, like just to fight. Because even when things are going wrong, like, you know, I remember when he used to coach us and we were losing like 6-1, like he used to be like, come on, like, let's go, like go get him, don't let him score and this and that. Like, I remember coming off the field one time, like, crying. He's like, man, what are you crying? Well, we still got a game to play and everything like that. So learning from him and everything like that, like reflecting back now, especially in my adult years, of like everything my parents did for me, and especially him as a mentor and as a coach, like it really made me understand, like, yeah, like, you know, that's how life is. I got to push myself, and even when things aren't going my way, I still got to go hard. And in regards to coaching, I would say my biggest influence as a coach has been honestly a lot of the coaches that have coached me, because I like to stay in communication with people as much as possible. So before my coach passed away, his name was Coach Sean Lawrence. Back he used to coach for Mansfield Revolution when they were still a thing. I used to go back and ask him questions about, like, hey, how did you handle this when parents asked you this? Or how did you handle this when players were reacting this way? And he would always, obviously, first give me a joke and everything like that. Well, you're doing too bad. They need to fire you. He always try to make me laugh, but he would always give me the advice of regards of like how he handled it. And we would talk it out so much to where he would end up talking out the answer that I should use, like, out of me, if that makes sense. And even like, for example, David right now, Coach David, our director of coaching, same thing with him, like, they all have been like father figures to me. And I usually talk out, we always talk out so much what we're going through, especially as coaches, and what's on our mind and what and ways we can get better, to where we kind of end up answering those questions that we had for ourselves. So right now, honestly, in my current predicament, my current season of life, like, I would honestly say my biggest influence lately has been Coach David. And he knows that. I let him know that as much as possible. But In regards to both questions, I mean, so many people have honestly impacted me and everything like that. And I try to stay in communication with them as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, like, I mean, soccer has brought so much to my life. I've met so many amazing friends. I've made so many amazing friends. I've played under so many awesome coaches. I've gotten to travel the world because of soccer. I've been able to, being able to coach so many amazing kids and make an impact on their lives. So it's just been, I'm blessed to be able to have participated in this game because it honestly changes lives. And that's something me and another coach, his name was Coach Diego, whenever I was running a semi-pro program back in Mansfield, that we talked about, just like, hey, like, we know this is a game, but we're here to change lives and make someone something a little bit better because they can be here playing instead of being out in the streets and doing something they're not supposed to and everything like that. And I've had people come back and tell me, and again, not trying to sound like not humble, but I've had people come and tell me, like, hey, Angel, like, thank you so much for all those times you used to pick me up and take me to soccer practice or like go play pickup games and things like that, player wise and then coaching wise, the kids I don't coach anymore that went to other teams, when they see me out in the fields, they come up and hug me. Everything like that. I don't see them. Like they come and find me. I don't know how. I guess it's the blonde hair now, but they come like, Coach Angel, hey, and they come hug me and want to take a picture with me. It makes me feel a little famous and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, this beautiful game has made such an impact on my life and in so many different ways as a player and as a coach and as a person that like I'll never take for granted. And that's something I try to make my players and even parents understand, like, hey, like, yeah, we're playing a game, but this is life. Like we're all in this together. We're a family. As long as we're on this team together, like we're gonna stick it out. And even if y'all leave, like I'll be checking in and all that stuff. Y'all can leave me a like on Facebook. I'll leave you a like back or something. So yeah.
Hey everyone, I hope you guys have all enjoyed this two-part series with Coach Angel from South City Athletic Club. I find it very fascinating his philosophy on coaching, his time playing, why he did what he did as a youth to why he does what he does as a coach. As I said in the closing of part one, he has learned to change his coaching philosophy over the years. I think any good coaching is an ever-changing door of growth. And he was humble enough to talk about it. He was actually very blunt about talking about how he has grown as a coach and his philosophy has changed. What he and South City is doing with the Alliance Futsal League that they've created and the importance of that for the community and the importance what he feels he's doing for the community and what the club is doing for the community is awesome. And I hope you guys learned something from this episode. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.